When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on The Grave Talks, Whispers and Ashes, a conversation with artist and medium Mella Ginn. Mella Ginn is a gifted medium and spiritual artist who brings a unique approach to preserving the memories of loved ones. She creates breathtaking portrait paintings using a small amount of cremation ashes, weaving the stories of those who have passed into every layer of her work. Through her art, she captures the essence of these souls, offering comfort, solace, and a deep connection to those left behind. Mella's journey into mediumship and art began at a young age. At just 4 years old, she tragically lost her cousin Jimmy, whose continued presence has played a pivotal role in her life. Join us as we delve into the heart of Mella's creative process, how she channels the energy of those who have passed, and her art's incredible impact on those who experience it. On this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll uncover the whispers in ashes with artist and medium Mella Ginn. Mella, I want to thank you for being on The Grave Talks. I appreciate your time. And you and I connected, and I went to your Facebook page, and I saw what you do, and I was very interested in talking to you. You are a very accomplished artist. And
well, thank you.
You're quite talented at what you do, but what you do is very interesting. to me. You take a small amount of ashes from someone who is deceased and you work it into this piece of art. And it could be a drawing, right? Painting?
It's always a painting.
Oh.
I do line drawings as well, but I have to add the ashes into paint to make them stick.
That makes sense to me. Now, so to me, that is really interesting. And at some point, did you just have a moment that kind of just came to you? Because that, you know, even if you've been doing art your whole life, that, you know, a lot of people, my sister's an artist and she does all kinds of different things over the years. But to decide to do what you do is a very special gift.
Yes, it's kind of strange, isn't it?
I don't think it's
to
strange.
To work with people's ashes.
You know what, though? I find it actually a very healing idea that I think it could offer a lot of healing to people.
When I very first started this, I didn't realize how much of a connection I would have to the ashes. And it's taking my mediumship to a whole different level. And now I can look back on my whole journey through learning mediumship and understand the steps that spirit had taken me to get to this point. It's really, really interesting to me.
Was it kind of something that just, I think sometimes when you get those messages, you know, and it could be for some people just that intuition, that kind of feeling like I should turn right, not left up there, whatever it is. But I think for people like you, it can be much more profound. Did it kind of come to you suddenly like this is something I should be doing or almost like you were told to do it maybe?
My sister was reading off a list of different things to do with cremation ashes. And there was like a million, well, not a million, but, you know, it was probably 20 or 30 on the list. And when she said that there was somebody doing portraits with ashes, I went, oh my God, like,
that's it.
I could do that. That would be really cool. Because, first of all, I've always loved faces, animal faces, and people. I'm not too big into bodies. I don't like to put the head and the body together. I'll do the body or I'll do the head, but I don't like them together as a full drawing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always really, really loved faces. And I thought, oh my goodness, I could do this. So when I looked up the people that do this type of art, they only put it like on the background. They'll shake all the ashes around the background of a painting. And a lot of the times it's not in a portrait face. It may be an abstract painting or something that person used to love, like the ocean or whatever. Mm-hmm. But mine is a little bit different than that. I find that my paintings have this magic, and I'll put that in quotes, twist to them. A couple of my clients have said that the paintings speak to them. And even my mom, which is a total non-believer, very Catholic person, she actually started talking to my dad. It took me quite a long time to do my dad.
That had to have been a tough one.
Yes, it was. It was healing at the same time, but yes, it was hard. And I gave the portrait to my mom, and she started talking to this painting. And the painting does talk back to you. And I've actually developed a meditation that goes along with the painting that to help you connect to the painting more.
I find that with art, I collect art. And I don't know why sometimes this piece speaks to me more than that piece. You know, everybody's what we're drawn to is different. But yes. I feel like I have certain pieces in my house that I'm so connected to. I have two in particular that I remember when I saw them at an art show, I was like, I need to own them.
That's right.
And I bought them. And yes. Especially with what you do, brings a different level. It gives someone something that's a huge connection to the one they're grieving and they're missing. But it also gives them a way to focus and look at that painting and kind of connect with it, or the piece that of art that you do. But you can connect with it at this different level than you can a photo or just a memory. It's just a totally different experience.
Totally. Because of the ashes. So the portrait paintings serve three purposes. They allow the recipient to follow through with the wishes, because lots of times that person wanted to be sprinkled in the forest or in the ocean or, you know, on some favorite trail or at their cabin or something. When the person left thinks about removing the last part of their beloved, lots of times it makes them feel like they're going to lose them again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it allows them to hold on to part of them and still do their wishes. It also gives the recipient an avenue to vent to talk to connect with, and to not feel alone. Because once you've connected to that painting and to those ashes, and I have lots of testimonials that the people actually tell me this, that they don't feel alone. That one little part of them that just yearns for that reconnection is fulfilled. And it also gives them a chance to share with generational participants. They can share the lineage. And this isn't really new other than the ashes part. I mean, the presidents all do it. They're all pictures are mm-hmm. on there. So you can see the lineage and like the queen.
Right.
Queen Elizabeth, you know, like all the kings and queens, you can see all that. So because with the portrait paintings, I give them, they have a family tree that they can fill out. They have also a record paper that they can fill out. It tells, you know, like their occupation and where they lived and their best memories with that person. And, you know, maybe funny jokes or things like that. It also comes with the painting so that they can keep it at the back of the painting. And then, because sooner or later, that recipient is also going to pass. And so it'll be left for other generations to enjoy.
I think that is just such a beautiful idea. I wouldn't have thought of adding all of that information, because to me it's like, oh, that was done for me. But you forget, you know, once you're gone, someone's going to be going through all of your things, and this would be a cherished piece of art that could go to a grandchild. Then it could go on to that grandchild. You know, to me, to do this kind of work, you almost have to be able to connect with the deceased person.
Oh, yes.
In order to do this. And so for you, and are you then a medium as well? Would you consider yourself to have some abilities? How long, like, is that something kind of your whole life you've dealt with, or maybe you didn't even realize what it was at some point?
Well, when I was little, I didn't realize what it was. The year that John F. Kennedy got killed in the States, I was only 5. That same year, my cousin Jimmy, he was only 6 at the time, he also got killed.
Mm.
And it wasn't soon after that that I used to, and we weren't even that close. I mean, he lived on like far away, and we didn't really visit that much. We didn't go home that much to visit these people. But so it wasn't that he was coming to me because, you know, we were buddies or something. I used to see him all the time, and he used to peek around the corner at me and want to play hide and seek and make me laugh and, you know, do funny faces and things like that the kids do. And I never thought anything of it. And I always thought it was just a normal thing. And I never even talked about it. I never told my mom that I was seeing this thing or whatever. I just took it as a natural kind of thing. But then as I started to grow up, he stopped coming when I was about 16 or 15. I wouldn't see him anymore. And then I started to really fear death and dying. And, you know, you start to grow up and you start to get all this earthly thoughts because people are talking to you about death and dying. And, you know, you start to see people dying. And you get these preconceived ideas of what is happening. And I would never go to a funeral, ever. I would go to the person's house. I would get everything set up for people to come back to the house, but I would never go to a funeral. And then when I had my first baby, I started thinking differently. Well, Jimmy came back when I had my baby, and I would start to see him again. And it made me start to think differently. And I fell into this spiritual church that was, they practiced mediumship. She had open circles and closed circles for learning and growth. And I was lucky enough to get into a closed circle. And there I learned so much, and my whole perception about death and dying started to change. And spirit had me doing lots of different things, but always towards art and always towards my drawing. And as I progressed, I got better and better. And I used to do some, I guess you can call it performing. They do like exhibitions,
mm-hmm.
where people come and they hope to get a message from a loved one. I would draw the people that would come to me.
Oh, but that's interesting.
I never saw them. I would never see them in my head. I would allow spirit to use my hand, my pencil, to draw the person. And I'll never forget the most profound one was when I was there one night, and these two girls had just lost their mom. And because there is a window as well, it's 1 to 3 days after their passing, or you have to wait about 6 months, because there's that window in there where their soul has things to do and they won't connect with you. They're busy doing their stuff. So the window of 1 to 3 days was still open for these two girls. And I drew this picture of this woman, and I walked around with it. And these two girls just started crying their eyes out. And then they pulled out the picture of their mom, and it was the exact same picture.
Oh, my goodness. That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really incredible.
And for those two girls to have that experience, I mean, that's so confirming to them that their mom was there and with them.
Yes. Yes. So then I had to learn because it's a different linkage to spirit doing artwork and doing messages. So then I had to learn how to do a message to go along with the artwork. So that took a little bit of time as well. But now when someone gives me the ashes, they'll give me the ashes and they'll give me a couple of different photos of the person. And I do a full ceremony and I call that person to me. I call them in and I call all north, south, east, west directions. And I call all those different parts of them to come and join me and help me to do the painting. And they always come. It's really funny because they all have certain things that they want in that painting. Sometimes they'll get really mad at me if I'm not listening or if I'm not doing it right,
if you ignore it. Like, yes, certainly you don't want a coffee cup in this painting. It's like, no, I really do. I'm known for drinking coffee.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So my very first one, I just kept hearing crows, 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 crows. So I phoned the lady, the wife, and I said, did Bob used to like crows? And she goes, oh my God. She said, these crows, you know, he loved crows. He'd feed them. They'd follow his car, you know, because they're very territorial, right? And they get to know you. They're very so smart, those birds. Anyways, she said, oh yeah, he really loved crows. So that's what I did. And he wanted these crows in his painting. And so now I totally trust whatever happens. I don't question it at all.
So when you get a message, like I think we were talking about a piece that you were working on the other day, and I think it was a feather in the piece.
Yes.
So when that comes through, you just know to put a feather, incorporate a feather into the piece somehow.
Yes. Yes. And I was going to put little hearts. And he said it needs to have a butterfly as well, because butterflies are all about transition and beauty and coming to be different. And And so then when I haven't delivered the painting yet because they're both sick right now. But I did send a photo of the painting and they just couldn't get over the, oh my God, there's the feather. And I mean, I don't need to know what it means as long as the family will always know what it means.
I would be, for me, just because I know myself really well, I would just want to know. It would just be a piece to the puzzle. Like, why was the feather important? I get it doesn't really mean to you what it does to them. I think I would just be curious. Why was that so important?
Sometimes I do ask, but a lot of times, I mean, that's part of mediumship too. You don't question what you're getting, and it doesn't need to mean anything to me. When I get messages from them, when they start talking to me and telling me what they want to tell the family, I don't question, like, why are you saying that? Like, you know, what's the history on that or whatever? I just give them the message.
And that's why I would be horrible at being a medium. I would be all the time going, what is that all about? What's the feather?
Yeah. And sometimes I ask, and sometimes they'll tell me, and sometimes it's a very private thing.
Yeah. That makes sense. Do you find when you're doing the piece that you're really connecting with this spirit of the person you are painting? Do you feel like while you're painting that piece, you're kind of having some one-on-one time with the spirit at the same time?
Yes, totally.
That has to be
totally.
That would be a really profound thing to go through. That
I like your word intimate. It is a very intimate time for me and for them.
Yeah.
This last person that I just finished painting, he had been gone for some time and he couldn't understand why we wanted to do this, why the family wanted this, because he had been gone for so long. You know, it took him about a week to really get on board and get going and understand that, yes, this was going to happen. I find that if they are not participating, I cannot paint them.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. What if they were like, I don't get it. I'm going on. And thank you for your interest.
Yes. When I'm doing this type of thing, they have to be on board with me. Like I can paint a picture. Like I could, you know, get a picture of I could paint you or, you know, somebody and that would look like them. But to do this work, that spirit, that soul has to be on board. And I'm not sure exactly why, but I guess it's that magic that is missing. Otherwise, it's just like a photograph. It doesn't have that magic connection.
Because you could draw a picture for someone or paint a picture for someone, but once you incorporate the ashes and go through this experience, it really does take it to a different level.
Yes, it does.
You know, and I just think, you know, we all have art that speaks to us. And to see a picture of your loved one, and like I said, you're very talented.
Oh,
and so
thank you.
Would see your loved one and then just, I don't know, I just know there would be this special connection right away. And I would imagine it gets pretty emotional when you give someone the painting, like the reactions that you get from them.
Yes. Yes. I do dogs as well as humans. And so this one young girl, I did her dog for her. They had been together for, I think it was like 16 years. And she was finding it very, very difficult. And so I do have a testimonial here. She says, 230 days of missing you. And now it feels like you are here watching me always and forever. My most treasured item in my possession now. Thank you. You do not only capture her essence, but her spirit. It really feels like she is looking at me. Your art is out of this world. Amazing attention to detail. And it's incredible. What a gift you have and have given. Thank you.
Oh my God, that made me cry.
I know.
Well, we were just talking about me losing my dog when he was 16. And so that really hit home.
Yes.
I think with all of us, when we lose, and it can be a pet, and I think a lot of people listening to this can connect with losing a pet. There probably are some people who are like, that would not be a very profound loss, but it really is. It's like it's a family member.
Yes.
And you're kind of a lot of times lost with that kind of grief and that kind of loss. And so to get a painting like that, I totally get what she means. That connection is like he's there watching over her or.
Yes. You know, and he gave her a message as well.
What can you share? It?
Quite a profound message, actually. I can tell you a little bit. It was he said that he not only saved her, but she saved him as well. Because prior to her getting him, he had been quite abused as a pup.
Yeah.
When she got him, then they were able to give each other exactly the things they both needed. And he's forever grateful for the life that he shared with her.
Oh, it's almost like this is my story. It's not my story.
Yeah, and I didn't know any of this. Like, I didn't know the dog's history or anything. So
when you get a message like that from an animal, just out of curiosity, is it in the similar way that you get it from a person who has passed?
Yes. Except a dog, I'll get a message right at the very beginning. When I do my ceremony and I call them in, that's when I'll get the message. I don't usually get anything after that.
Oh, that's interesting.
With a person, sometimes, like, it depends on the personality of the person too. Sometimes the person will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Like, give me a little bit now and a little bit each time I sit to paint. Or sometimes they just have a very little bit to say, and it's very at the very beginning as well. And then they'll say something right at the end of the painting.
In a way, like, you have this short, you know how we all just meet somebody, you might be on a bus, you might be waiting at the doctor's office, and you're talking with somebody and you never see them again, but you're having this interaction with them for this brief amount of time in your life, but it's all to help someone process a loss.
Yes.
Which is a real gift to them.
I kind of think of it like if you were going for a massage. You know, there's that little bit of talking prior to the massage. And then the massage part is me being creative. And then at the very end, you know, you'll have a little tiny thing to say at the very end of massage to the massage person, right?
Because you obviously have to connect with these spirits. Are you able to connect with spirits when you're not doing the art?
Yes. Yes, that's different though. That's
And what is the difference, how it comes to you?
Well, for me personally, I'm a feeler. Like, there's lots of different senses, right? Some people see, some people feel, some people just have this knowing. Some people have this like little movie that goes through their head. I'm a feeler that changes into pictures in my head. So when I'm doing a like regular mediumship, I tend to get a feeling of that person, and it becomes words that I can describe the person with. And I can then give them the message from that person and stuff like that. But I never had the gift of seeing. And maybe that's a good thing because of what I'm doing now. Seeing would not particularly serve me well. Because I would get in the way. My personal opinions would get in the way. And with mediumship, you have to step away from your own personal opinion about anything.
That's true, because it's not about you. It's going through you. And
That's
the message
right.
and information is for someone else.
That's right.
When you've done your artwork, have you ever had someone come through that just really surprised you? Maybe somebody was kind of funny or very outspoken or entertaining in some way, or just from right off when you start and you do your ritual, it's like, this is going to be interesting.
I haven't, as of yet, gotten that, no. I have a little private, a closed circle that I do, that I run with. We only have like 4 participants in it, so it's quite intimate and small. But we have a guy that comes that supports our circle, and he'll show up in lots of different kinds of ways. He'll show up as a clown with great big shoes, or he'll He'll make everybody talk in rhyme or things like that. So in that way, yes, this guy's very funny. But in my portrait art, no, I have not. I mean, I welcome that, but no, I haven't.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
And I would think it would be a very kind of, I don't know. I just think the way I'm a very emotional person and I have deep feelings. And when someone would hand me ashes of a loved one, even at just a small amount, that is something that's so treasured and precious. That has to be quite emotional just to even have someone give them to you and say, please turn this into a piece of art.
Yes. There are some people, too, that really have a difficult time opening the bag.
Yes,
to give me a little bit of ashes. For most people, it takes a bit for them just to open it. If they live close enough, I'll do it for them, you know.
Yeah, I could see.
It doesn't happen often.
I am the girl who has 6 or 7 cremated pets in her house in various places because I can't bring myself to open the little boxes. And I'm like, what do I do with this? And I'm going to end up keeping the box anyway. And So I'm like, if somebody comes over, if they know, they know. If they don't, it just looks like a nice decorative little box.
So you have lots of animal spirits walking around your place.
I do. And you know what? I am 100% okay with that. I hope they always stay close. Now, so if someone wants some information on having some artwork done, or even just to look at your page, I can put a link on the show notes here. So wherever someone's listening, they can listen, or they can just click right on the show notes and go right to your page. But can they talk to you about this first? Like, I don't even, you know, the process would be.
Yes, it would always have to be that way.
And I'll put the link right there so people can just easily click on it.
Yes, they would just send me a message that they're interested. Because there's lots of choices, too. You know, there's different types of canvases. There's different, they can have a in black and white, they can have it in color. So all of that has to be kind of settled or chosen. And then I have to send them the address to get the ashes.
Yeah.
I'll send them a little package. And in that package, they'll be able to collect the ashes and put them in a little bag and everything. And I send them an envelope with it, that like a prepaid envelope that they can send it back to me. And then I start on the painting.
And on your Facebook page too, you can, and on your website, you can see examples of the art. It's really interesting to me. And it's just very touching. I look at these pieces and they touch my heart, and I didn't even know these people.
So I can't imagine
to have that and to be able to display it in your home and see it all the time. Just gives you that little bit of peace.
I think so. Well, all the testimonials that I've received, definitely people have been able to move forward and let go of their, you know, what ifs. What if I did this? What if I had have done that? What if I had have gone here? Whatever it might have been. You know, because grief, you know, you blame the person that died and then you blame yourself. And, you know, there's just a lot of different emotions that happen.
I have found in my own personal life, the hardest thing for me to let go of was the grief. The grief was the one connection I still have. And so if I let go of the grief, I'm kind of giving myself permission that it's okay. And the last thing I feel is it's not okay. But I think when you have something like that and you can kind of feel the person's presence around you and you can process what you've gone through, I just think it helps with the whole process of it, because it is a process.
Yes, it is. And people tend to think that if they let go of their grief, they're letting go of the person.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
That's not what that means. Letting go is letting go of all of those feelings, even that thought. It's letting go of that thought because it's not true. Love will connect you together forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. Love will not break the chain. It's kind of like if your loved one got sent to Europe someplace and you couldn't talk to them, but you kind of knew they were over there, you might miss them for sure. You would miss them, but you're not going to hold on to that grief that we tend to have when a person dies.
Right.
And if you're able to connect with these paintings, it is like they're just over in Europe somewhere.
Right.
Right. They're just over there. And you can still talk to them and they will still communicate with you. They will still tell you in different kinds of ways the answers that you're looking for. But they can't do that if you're holding on to this tight grip. They can't get through that. So this helps you to open up and let go of that heaviness.
And I think having the piece in your house, this painting, just allows you to kind of be in a more meditative state, maybe in just a better headspace for them to be able to get through. Like you feel their presence in a different way.
Yes, exactly. It allows you to open up enough
that they
and have a different
in.
Understanding of death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like all the little animals that you have there. That's that little puppy that you lost. You know, you had this real connection with this puppy and you could connect with that dog still.
Mm-hmm.
And know that that dog is still there. That dog is there because you have the ashes there. And you could just talk to that dog. You'd be able to see little signs because the dog would have done something in particular. A little thing that, you know, only your dog did. You know, put his bone in a particular place or something. And that might start to happen again. I mean, it's like people, you'll start to see feathers or you'll start to see money, like nickels or something, lots of nickels around. All of a sudden, you'll start to see that. Or, you know, the movies make you think that it's going to be some spectacular thing, like this
yes.
person's just going to appear. and most of the time that's not the way it is.
Right. It's
they'll
more
start,
of a whisper.
They'll start leaving things. You'll see feathers or you'll see a change of some kind, or you'll see like a jar will be moved. Like they always put this jar in a certain place and you started putting it somewhere else. And all of a sudden that jar will be back there in that place.
It's
like
so
different
true.
Things. Yeah, different things like that. You'll start to see that. You'll know that they're with you.
For me, it's pennies with my father. But
yeah.
Everything you just said about my dog was 100% true. And because I do talk to him every night.
Yeah.
But one day I came in the house and there was a dog bone in the middle of the kitchen floor. And I just had cats at that time. And I'm like, I don't even know where the dog bone came from. I didn't know I had one in my house. But I
yeah.
stopped and I took a picture of it and I sent it to my sister. And I'm like, this dog bone is in the middle of my kitchen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, your dog is there. I'm like, yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wanted you to know that that dog is still there.
Yeah. It's just so sweet. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Like I said, I'll put a link so everybody can look right there or go to the Facebook page. There's also, it's M-A-E-L-L-A, Mel Ginn, G-I-N-N. And you can go to her Facebook page. There's a link right there as well to her website. And you do some blogging on the website. People can read all that, but kind of see what you do and actually look at some of the art that you create. And I think it's exceptional. And I think what you do is very healing.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was wonderful.
If you'd like more information on Mela and her incredible art, you can visit her website by clicking on the link in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.